All right, Razorbackology. Welcome to the show, man. I'm happy to have you on Lending a Hand.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, hey, we had a good conversation the first time when we were on the rise, I guess, and now we're kind of peaking here. It's an exciting time to be a Razorback, that's for sure.
It's I think last time was around March Madness, and we're kicking it off. I guess it's April Madness right now, but yeah, what a fun little year by the Hogs.
Man, it feels like every sport we're kicking ass in right now. It's awesome. But
Yeah, it's all, the main sports are kicking butt, and then you have, Courtney Dyfel and the soccer team, and the track and field's doing what they're doing, and women's basketball made it to another NCAA tournament. And it's, I mean, just as much as all the major three sports are getting credit for, it's all the other ones too that are really, really doing their part.
yeah, that's absolutely the truth. But we gotta first talk about some basketball. You know what I mean? Fresh off second back-to-back Elite Eight. How impressed were you with this team?
Yeah, this team was a joy to cover and watch. And I always, with this team, I always kind of remember the Hofstra games and the Oklahoma games. Just, when you're in December and November and those games kind of happen, you sit back and you're like, man, like we would just be lucky just to get an invite to the tournament. I mean, last year we won a few games, made it to the second weekend, and now it's like, shoot, I mean, are we like even an NIT team at this point? But they rebounded nicely, and that we may start to see a trend with Coach Muss and his program that they not necessarily they don't start off on the right foot in the first half of the year, but just how his teams seem to gel in the second half of the year. And his second year here, first year from COVID, they won 12 conference games in a row, and then this year I think they got it up to 8 or 9, and they were really playing their best basketball in March, which that's what you want. You don't want your teams to, hit their peak in December and January. You want them to be continuously getting better throughout the year. So I think he's definitely aced that, and it's probably with all the new faces that are coming in and coming out, and the team starting off probably don't have the chemistry that they need to. But by the end of the year, they're playing well. So it's always fun getting to kind of learn these guys like Audis Tony. I mean, he was a stud. He was one of my favorite players this year, kind of reminding me of a Justin Smith type glue guy from last year. But then you have him for a year and he's gone. And you're like, oh crap, I was really just starting to like these guys. But yeah, this was a really fun team.
Yeah, big news obviously this week with first JD. Obviously, we kind of expected him to go pro and get that bag. But then Jalen, he didn't hire an agent, luckily, but we'll see if he comes back or not. I'm hoping, And then obviously today, Audis decided he want to enter his name in the draft. I don't know if Audis will get drafted. I mean, he's a great defender, but I don't know if the offense is there yet. I don't think he's projected to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he could be taking a similar route that Jimmy Witt took last year, going to play professional ball out in Europe or one of those other countries. But with Jalen, I think Jalen has such a massive ceiling from a draft stock perspective. I think, the NBA is all about if can you shoot. It's they want guys that can score the ball. And so I think one area that Jalen can really improve on in his game is that perimeter shot. So I'm sure he's getting a lot of good advice from NBA scouts, and they're telling him, dude, you're an awesome player, but if you're able to get that 3-point jump shot and hit that consistently, you're going to go from
Take to the next level.
a late second round pick to a mid first round pick. So I think I have a hunch that he's going to come back, and all those Arkansas preseason rankings number one are really going to come to light. But yeah, I think Jalen will come back, and then I would expect Tony to. I think he'll stay and keep his name in the draft. Yeah, like you said, it may
He didn't
that
hire an
may.
agent.
I think Audis did hire an agent. It looked like with on his Instagram post, it looked like it started with an F, like family agency or something like that. But I would expect Jalen to sneak back at some point, and I think Audis will keep his name in.
And let's hope. I mean, we already got that amazing best recruiting class in history, obviously. But I feel that we need Jalen. We do. We'll be fine. I mean, we'll win some games next year just because of the talent, but he is the glue, man. I mean, how many charges did he take this year? 54?
Yeah, 53, 54, something ridiculous. I'm just hoping they don't change a block charge rule. You know, I don't want them to come out in the offseason. They say charges aren't going to be a rule in the NCAA after they saw what Jalen did. Because I know there's a lot of angry SEC and opposing teams fan bases that they weren't a fan of getting a charge from Jalen three times a game. But yeah, he's a gifted athlete, and he probably won't be taking as many charges in college as he will in the NBA. But I'm hoping he can take care of his body too. Every time he sets up for a charge, I'm worried he's going to hit his head on the ground or do something. But man, that guy's a warrior.
I feel like he does a pretty good job at taking care of his body. I feel like every game you see him with those suction cup marks all over his body. So, I mean, you know, hopefully he's out there post game, getting ice bath, everything like that.
Oh yeah. I think Jalen's probably keeping our trainers and our ice baths and the suction cup massages. I bet he's keeping everybody there busy throughout the season.
Yeah, man. It's just so fun to watch, man. It's such an exciting time to be a Razorback, seeing it, you know, beat Gonzaga this year and then also Auburn. That Gonzaga game, I mean, that's a great example of a team that peaked in December. And, you know, granted, is it Mark Few as their coach, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so he's a great coach, but, man, there's almost no coach I would rather have than Eric Musselman right now. I mean, the way he recruits and his being that NBA, like having that experience at Golden State, I just feel is huge for guys that want to go pro, mm-hmm. top-notch players.
Yeah, and I think the staff that he's able to consistently put around him puts everybody in the best position to succeed. And I know he kind of has a knack for his assistant coaches don't stick around for long, but I mean, if you're able to shuffle him around, and if one leaves, I would assume a lot of assistant coaches would want to be a part of our program. And I think it's probably a good look on their resume when they say, yeah, I was an assistant for 2 years under Coach Musselman and we made it to back-to-back Elite Eights, you know? But I think what really separates Moss from a lot of the other guys is just his attention to detail. I was lucky enough to go to a practice. It was right before the LSU game at home, right before our senior night game. And I mean, you walk in the practice gym and there's just posters plastered everywhere on the sides, talking about every single player. So every single player on LSU has this massive, it's like something that we would have done in elementary school, right? With just this massive poster, and it's got the marker that says like Tar East, and then it'll say in all colorful fonts and stuff. And it'll have like the five things that he does best and three things that he struggles with. And it'll be like, he always finishes with his right in transition, or every time he shoots a three, it's off a ball screen to his left. Like, it's there's things that like the typical fan wouldn't really recognize. Like even myself, I wouldn't pick up on all this stuff. And they're looking at everything and watching film nonstop. And they're trying to give their players any ounce of a competitive advantage to win. And it's the practice too. They probably ran like 50 drills within a 20-minute time span or a 30-minute time span. Like everybody is constantly moving around. It's pretty hectic, but it gets the job done. And that's probably the biggest difference from this staff to the last, is it's just the attention to details off the charts. And everybody has a purpose and everybody knows what their job is, and they excel in that role.
Man, that's good insight. That's why I wanted to bring you on here, man. Like, give us that information that the average Razorback fan doesn't see. And I feel like I'm an over average fan, but you know, going to the practices, getting the behind the scenes stuff. That's cool, man. That's probably why you've grown this following right here. 36,000, man. Yeah, it's impressive.
I tell people I've had it for, it'll be, I think, 8 years in August. And if anybody can have a page for 8 years or whatever. And if, you know, with the awesome fan base that Arkansas has, and with the success that the Razorbacks have had here, especially in the last few years, it's been a joy to kind of cover them. I don't even consider it's me covering the team. I'm just kind of just like my bio says, I'm just a kid in a fan page I run, and it's a lot of fun to post the winning score graphics, and it's a lot of fun to talk about Moses Moody getting drafted as a lottery pick, and it's a lot of fun posting the Jordan Walsh commitment picture. Like, those are things that any fan could do, any kid could do. So it's really, I've really been grateful to just to be born in Arkansas and to pick this college team to be a super fan of. So it's been a joy.
For sure, man. I love to see it. I see Bobby Bones is following you. What? Mr. Bobby Bones.
Yeah, every once in a while he'll message me and have a question about who's coming today or how are you feeling about the game. And when we were in the SEC tournament, we were kind of messaging back and forth talking about seeding and if we thought we could move up to a 3 seed if we won the tournament. And he's got insight too. He's like, yeah, so I talked to Eric and Anthony Ruta, and they said if we win the tournament, we're a 3 seed. Anything else, we're a 4. I'm like, you're the man. You're the man.
But, man, he's probably the most the biggest celebrity we have in Arkansas, I would say. He's just it's good to see him. He, you know, mm-hmm. he grew up in Mountain Pine, which is about 30 minutes outside of Hot Springs here. So just cool to see him doing what he's doing on the music mm-hmm. level there.
Yeah,
you got Hawks him. Will be national champs next year. Gabriel, yes, I like it. What do you think? You next got year? Justin. I mean, what's that?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, along with Bobby Bones, you got Justin Moore. He's constantly repping the Hogs, and he's got the Razorback on his guitar strap. But we have a pretty solid, famous, I guess, fan base, alumni.
Yeah, and with everything going on in the world, not getting like political or anything, but you know, people are moving away from California, going to Texas. It's like, hey, come over here to Arkansas. It's a pretty cool spot mm-hmm. to live, you know, the natural mm-hmm. state.
You know, I would imagine rocking the Cardinal red would be more appealing than the burnt orange over there in Texas. So,
yes, that's what's up. Probably got some Texas people listening. I got some bugs up in here on the mic.
I think a national championship would, I think, out of all three sports, I think baseball is probably the most relevant and probably the most. The closest to winning one. It feels like Dave Van Horn and the Omaha Hawks should have had one by now. And the team looks really good this year. And I think they're beating up on UCA. I think Braden Webb hit a grand slam about a half hour ago, and it was still in the third inning, and they had 10-11 runs. Football is going to be a little tough with Saban still hanging out in our division. But basketball, I mean,
I'm excited about football, but I don't, maybe I'm just being pessimistic, but if we get eight wins, it's going to be a good year, just because the SEC, you just never know what you're going to get. And people, I feel the average Razorback fan does not know how good Treylon Burks is, man. I mean, they're talking about him going to Green Bay or what were a couple other projections, good quarterbacks. I mean, he could be a star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've seen him New England maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think his 40-yard dash time didn't blow people away, but it's one of those things. I mean, you put the pads on and you watch that guy on film. Like, do we need to pull up the video of him outrunning the Alabama secondary in Tuscaloosa? I mean, and they're probably talking about three or four of those dudes are going to be in the first three rounds, you know? So, I mean, maybe if he ran a little bit slower so he could get backed up in the first round to get to a better team, that would be pretty smart of him. You're sacrificing a few dollars, but you get to play in a place like Green Bay compared to, I don't know, Detroit or Minnesota, you know.
Please don't go to Detroit. No offense, Detroit. You're hurting.
I am a Green Bay fan, so I'm glad you brought up the Packers, and I'm glad we got to poke a little fun at Detroit.
Man, what are the Packers doing right now? I mean, shoot, I know we're talking Hogs, but weird offseason when it came to the NFL. Probably one of the strangest I've ever seen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just Brady going Wilson. Back and forth, and mm-hmm. Aaron staying, Devontae's leaving. So
all these things. Yeah.
Yeah. For Green Bay, I think if there's a year that they draft a first round receiver to please Aaron, it has to be this year. So I've seen Jameson Williams and Burks both projected to go to Green Bay. So we'll see. But
guess who's available? We'll see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So back to, you know, some Razorback sports, because I feel the same way about baseball. You know, I think they're the closest. It's kind of surprising they haven't, with how consistent top five they are. Hopefully that's their year this year. But what are you, and we can even go back to basketball on this question, but what are you most excited for in the next 365 days?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's going to be baseball. I think it's going back to Omaha. We haven't been back since 2019. And for any and all Razorback fans that are listening to this, it's probably still one of my favorite trips. It's 2018, specifically going down to Omaha and hanging out there for a week. It's a college baseball fan's dream. Town just completely flips over and becomes just baseball. And there's eight crazy fan bases there. And it's always a fun time. I mean, you could just very well say a basketball Final Four and a college football playoff, you know, for the football team. But I think since we've kind of reached that both levels of success for basketball and football pretty recently, you know, with the New Year's Bowl and then the back-to-back Elite Eight runs, we haven't quite seen that Omaha run. It'll be 3 years
by the time
they have a chance. So, I mean, the more I'm thinking about it, I just keep thinking, like, man, we're kind of a spoiled fan base right now. We've had the New Year's game, beat Texas in football, and we've had back-to-back Elite Eights, and our baseball team is consistently top five. Last year, they were the best team in the country. They just sometimes the best team doesn't win it at all. But yeah, I think I'd have to go with Omaha for that one.
Right on. That's a good answer, I think.
Man, what about you, though?
Yeah, you know, I'm not as excited about football. I think we could have a drop off. I hope not. Hope I'm wrong and eat my words. But basketball for sure. Seeing these guys, Nick Smith specifically. I mean, I think Walsh may stay more. I look at it like this: we got 3 5 stars coming in. I doubt all of them go pro in the first year. At least I hope not. But this Nick Smith kid, I got a chance to go and watch him in the state tournament and state championship game. I mean, he's ahead of the game. He looks like, I want to say, a more athletic Chris Paul out there. He sees the floor. He can shoot. He can dribble. He's got 6'9" wingspan for a guy that's 6'4", I think. I mean, he could do it all, and he could very well be the number one pick in the draft next year for the NBA. That'd be exciting.
You got the number one team, preseason team in the country. You got the number one potential draft pick. I mean, four years ago, we were happy to get the NIT bid, and we were just happy just to play postseason basketball. And now we're seeing a number one flash next to everything we do. We just don't know how to react. But yeah, Nick's going to be a really, really special talent, and I think he earns every bit of that 5-star as much as anyone else. And I remember in the McDonald's All-American game, he didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but I mean, some of the plays he made, they're just like, how do you teach that to somebody, and who's going to guard that? And speaking about defense, he was guarding people really well. I think we're all going to talk about his offense and how flashy he is, but it looks like he can play some defense as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's 6'9" wingspan. That is just wild for a guy that's 6'4". I think he's 6'4", isn't he?
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, goodness. Yeah. So I got another good question with this great recruiting class coming in. Who are we overlooking? You know, we're talking about the top three guys, these top three guys. Who are we overlooking, if anybody?
Yeah, I think Joseph Binion. He's out of Morrilton. He's a shooter. He's I think he's about 6'3", 6'4". I think he's getting overlooked just a little bit. And you have Darian Ford, who's, you know, he's pretty active. Ford's pretty active on social media, and everybody pretty much knows about him. And then Barry Dunning, he's the Gatorade Player of the Year in Alabama, so everybody kind of has a good feel for him. But I think Pinion's kind of sliding under the radar a little bit. And we're talking, you know, he maybe year one, year two, he's not playing a ton, but by the time junior, senior year rolls around, he could be the guy that we look at, and he's the next Dusty Hannahs or Rodney Clark, or, you know, pick some of the great shooters here. And I think he could be one of them. I don't want to put those expectations on him, but that's one name that I think he's going to surprise a lot of people down the road.
For sure, man. We've had some good shooters. Pat Bradley, man, I love watching him on SEC Network during this run. He was just picking it every time. It was fun.
Oh yeah. It's always fun to have a hog guy on SEC Network, and he's calling the Hogs and poking jokes at everybody, all his other colleagues. So it's been fun to have him on.
And you know, it's a good problem to have. That we have all this talent. I mean, obviously, you know, not obviously, but realistically, we're going to have some people transfer this year. And then who knows what we do next year with, you know, the 3-5 stars, you got to think they're going to be starting, even if we get Jalen back. And Devo, of course, I think we'll probably round it out. But I hope we can keep these guys like Pinion and Ford, even if they don't play as much. Because, you know, there's only one basketball. I feel like the Golden State Warriors a few years ago when they had Durant. It's like, man, there's only one basketball. All these guys have pro potential. And if they only average 7-8 points a game, I don't know. They might look to transfer, which we'll see. Hope not. But good problems to have regardless. So
Yeah. I almost wish there were 60 or 80 or 100 minutes in a basketball game. With all the talent and all the guys we have, there's a lot of mouths to feed, and we've kind of learned that Muss likes to dwindle his rotation to 7 guys and sometimes even 6 guys as it gets towards postseason play. And I understand guys want to play wherever they are, but I don't know. It's tough because there's going to be 4 or 5 guys that don't see the floor a ton, kind of like we saw this year. And I think that may be the normal kind of cycle with Muss's roster, is that, well, there's going to be 6-7 guys that play a ton. 3 of those 4 are graduating because they're graduate seniors. And then on the very bottom of that, well, there's going to be 4 or 5 guys that didn't play a lot, and they don't want to sit the bench for their whole college career. So it's kind of a give or take. It's not Boys and Girls Club basketball. So you play to win, and you play the best guys that give you the best opportunity to win. So
for sure. I definitely see us getting a couple more transfers. I see, and I'd be curious if you got any insight on, or if you've heard any rumors, like maybe Vanover, is he going to leave? I think it would be good for him too. I mean, I think if he goes to a place like UCA or UALR, he'll dominate. He'll dominate in the Sun Belt. I mean,
Yeah, I think
who else you see potentially leaving though?
Yeah, I think Vanover is probably one that most people are going to expect, and I don't have any insight on him or any of the other guys, but I think with Connor, I think it would kind of be a mutual leave for him and for our program. You know, he wants to be somewhere where he's going to play, and I think the fan base I've kind of caught on to, you know, I read the comments and I read the direct messages, and I don't know if I've ever seen a fan base hate somebody as much as Connor. And I hate that for him. And he's, you know, he can only control what you can control. And I don't know if he sees the comments or reads everything on Twitter. I sometimes I hope not, but I think I'd love for him to go somewhere and excel. I know his brother's a graduate assistant at UCA. So that could be a potential landing spot for him. But shoot, I even think he could go somewhere better than UCA. I mean, I think he came from California in the Pac-12, and he started to play a little bit towards the end of his freshman year. And he had one game where he put up like 21 points. I mean, I really could see him at a mid-major. I don't know what mid-major that is.
He's got a good family. I'm sure you've heard the story. Like, his mom and dad are both freaking tall, freakishly tall too.
Yeah.
And he gets a lot of hate, I think probably because he's a big guy and people just think that, you know, hey, this big guy, he can take it. But
yeah,
I don't know.
They see 7'3" and they think, oh, he can just drop the ball on the rim. And it's like, well, and they think he's going to be as strong as a ox. They think he's going to be LeBron James. And it's just, the human body doesn't quite work like that. but you know, we'll see. He's one of those guys that I really hope he can go somewhere for a year or two and make some team, make a coach, make a fan base really proud. Cause I think he's a good ball player. But this league, it may not be the best fit for him. So I'll be excited to see if he does transfer, there's still a shot for him. If he truly loves Arkansas and he's proud to wear the Razorback on his chest, he'll stick around. And so we'll see. But
yeah, I root for anybody who, you know, grew up in Arkansas, because obviously, like Bobby Bones, if they make it big elsewhere, not even in basketball, you know, they're going to remember up their home state. And like KK, I hope he goes and just transfers to a D1 school. I'm sure he will, because he was a 4-star, right, coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got a lot of potential. He just, I think, never lived up to it, or he definitely never lived up to it. If he ever listens to this, but you know, I wish him the best, man. I hope he, because my best friend, his wife actually taught KK at Bryant. So he did go to Bryant, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was a guy that one at the practice I went to. I mean, it was kind of remarkable, some of the things he was doing. I mean, he was carrying the ball around a lot. He wasn't running with the ones. He was obviously with the twos and the threes, but he looked confident. He was making jump shots. He was being a leader out there. So I know he had that injury last year that kind of hurt him a little bit, and people have said he hasn't been the same since, which is unfortunate, but I still think he's a really good player. And his little brother's coming up too. I think he's a junior right now. And people are saying that his brother is just as good, if not better than him. He's another one too. I'll be really curious to see where he goes. And
Bryant as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I could see, I mean, LSU is really lacking with their numbers right now. It's not a far stretch to say that, maybe KK could go to LSU. He may not be the starting point guard for him, but what's to say he can't be a role player for them? Because they're struggling right now. They lost all their scholarship
every single last player, year. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think everybody's, 11 transfers.
Yeah. I think, they had a bunch of guys go to the drafts. I think like two or three, and then a few graduated. And then what the rest of those, whether it's seven or eight, they're all transferred out. So I know they picked up Justice Hill, who's old. He played it here for a year and then transferred to Murray State. And then he's going to LSU. He's following his head coach. That's LSU's head coach, his old Murray State head coach.
So, okay.
I mean, and I think they plucked one other guy from Murray State. So I think they only have two dudes right now. So I could see KK maybe going down there.
Ooh, I don't know. He's a hog. He always knew he was going to be Razorback. I don't think he would go and disown us like that. Come on, that's like going to Texas.
Yeah. I know. Again. That's what that's what Fouché and Brooks did this year. Made the choice to. I guess that they're going back home, so it'd be a little different. But
yeah, KK, he's grown up as a Razorback, so.
Yeah.
Hey man, I know we kind of said we keep this about 30 minutes, but I got a couple more. I want to get some good insight. So it doesn't have to be basketball. I know we've been talking a lot of basketball. That's my favorite sport. So, but what other, you know, you got any other insights for us? Been to any practices? You talk to any players, any DMs?
Yeah. Probably one that's most interesting to people is there's been some talks out of the football practices that Malik Hornsby is seeing a little bit of time at receiver, which would be a thrill to have him out there. And he would, I guess he could still play as our backup quarterback, but the guy's our fastest player on the team. And a guy like that, you have to have him on the field. Kendall Bryles comes up with so many different formations. And I mean, he's a coaching guru. You really truly never know what he's going to do. So I could see him playing around a lot with Malik being in the backfield with KJ. And they could do one in the first quarter, they could run a fly sweep to Malik where he takes off the field for 30 yards. And then third quarter, they come back and it's a fly sweep. And then before the line of scrimmage, he just drops back and dumps one over the top to Jaden Hazelwood. So that's one that I think's been a little bit of a rumor that I could really see unfolding, and that'd be a really fun one to see on the field this year.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was entering the transfer portal, or there was rumors about that, right?
Yeah, he did enter the transfer portal, the majestic transfer portal. Feels like everybody's jumping in there nowadays, but he decided to come back out and come to Arkansas. So I don't know. It's kind of a weird deal. I remember Pittman always used to say, like, if any of my kids are going in the transfer portal, if they want to put their name out there, he pretty much said they're not welcome to come back to Arkansas. And he seemed to be pretty stern on that. And I think that's just kind of Sam's background. And, you know, if you're going to commit to something, you're going to commit to something. And if you're 1 foot out the door, you're all the way out the door. I think that's kind of his mentality. But Hornsby, I guess was able to sneak back in. Not to say sneak back in, but a guy like that, I would assume we would love to have him back if he did that. But yeah, you're right. He did enter his name into the portal, and I guess didn't get the schools he wanted or whatever.
Happy to have him back. Maybe I know what Pittman said, but I'm happy to have him back.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of which, old Sammy, man, he's a loyal guy. He's already, you know, he's got a spot down here in Hot Springs. I'm actually wearing the green shirt because people, if they're watching this on YouTube or something, this obviously is not the Razorbacks colors, but he was one of the, I believe, grand marshals for the world's shortest St. Patrick's Day parade that we have every year here in Hot Springs. And I guess a picture got leaked of his house, and he's got a Razorback statue, kind of like you see all throughout Fayetteville, right out front of his house. It's just, the guy is he's loyal right at his lake house. So
yeah, that's awesome. I remember when he was on the Scott Van Pelt show with ESPN, and he made some comment that he's like, this is going to cost me a lot of money, but he's like, this is my last job. He's like, I'm staying here. This is where I want to be.
Yeah,
my wife loves it here. I love it here. And he said, if as long as your check wants to hold on to me, he's like, I'm not going anywhere. They gave him a lifetime contract, or I know it's probably jumping the gun, because with Bielma and this was his second full year here, he beat Texas. And then I remember he got a massive contract from Jeff Long administration. But I think this time around, it'll be a little different. But yeah, Sam loves
we
it.
We
can
just hang on to Briles, man. You know, if we keep having these seasons, Briles, unfortunately, he's going to go get a head coaching job.
Yeah. Same for Barry Odom too. Those guys are magnificent coordinators, and Kendall's going to be a head coach at some point, and he's still super young. And Barry Odom, I think he's probably going to be itching to get back into the head coaching world again. So if you would have told me we'd have these guys for 3 years, both, you know, that'd be a dream come true. Because year one, you see them and you're like, wow, these are two awesome coordinators. It's going to be really tough for Sam to convince these guys to stay year in and year out. But you know, Sam's an awesome recruiter, and I guess some of those tactics he uses for four-star high schoolers worked for coordinators too. But yeah, we're super grateful to have those guys in Fayetteville.
It's a great city, consistently one of the top cities in America to live.
Yeah, I think it's been what, like 4, 5, 6, 7 years, it's been the best place to live in the SEC from like U.S. towns.
Man, Arkansas is underrated, man. I just so underrated. Like, I tell my guys up in Ohio where I work at, I'm like, I got to get down here. It's a pretty cool spot. Like, you don't need to go to Ohio State. Psh, come on. But
I also kind of like that we're always kind of, you know, we're not the first place people think of when they're thinking of places to live. And it's not necessarily an underdog mentality, but it's kind of nice not being in the spotlight. Like, we're blossoming here, and you know, we're kind of doing it in peace. And but it's starting to, I mean, the housing market's starting to shoot up around here, and you know, all those lists are talking about Northwest Arkansas. And I think somebody said there was a billboard in Seattle about, I think it was in Seattle or California, that it was talking about that you got to go to Northwest Arkansas or Austin, Texas. And they're going to give, some company was giving people like $1,000 to move, or I don't know. There was some deal about that, but it's kind of nice. We're a sleeping giant, and it's I kind of like having that label.
Speak for yourself, man. I want this to be the spotlight, man. Yeah. We're right here in the center of the country. We're long overdue.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It feels good now that all the sports are coming full circle, and it's always fun chatting Razorbacks with you, because not only can you keep up, but you give me insight that, you know, the average fan, you know, doesn't know. But
no, I appreciate that. It's always fun talking with you, and I hope for the people that are listening, they learned a thing or two, and if they learned that Fayetteville, Arkansas is a great place to go, and hey, that's awesome. But yeah, no, I appreciate it.
For sure, man. Obviously, you guys can follow Razorbackology on Twitter and Instagram, right?
Just Instagram. No Twitter as of now.
Instagram. Okay. And you Twitter.
Yep, I have a personal Twitter. There's a Razorbackology Facebook. I'm not a huge Facebooker. I just usually, if I'll post something to Instagram, and then I'll click a setting that spits it over to Facebook. So I got the Instagram, got the Facebook. I have a Spotify, or I have a podcast. I haven't been super active on that recently, but it's Razorbackology Talks. I'm running a big ticket giveaway right now. Two tickets to the LSU baseball game. That giveaway will end.
You're adding value right there for everybody who, isn't following you. Go check out his page. And you're always throwing giveaways out there, tickets, free merch, all kinds of fun stuff, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I respond to every direct message, no matter how absurd or crazy they may be. I want people to know that it's not a 50-year-old, you know, in his basement, or it's not a robot making up everything. It's an actual person, and I think people have enjoyed that human aspect of it. And I learn just as much from other people sending me stuff as I do, I'm sure, me sending other people news and info. So any questions or thoughts or ways to make the pages better or anything like that, I'm always open for a conversation in the direct message.
Absolutely, man. I love it. And I'll definitely be sharing this with everybody when it comes out tomorrow. But yeah, we'll catch up again here real soon and, talk some more Razorback sports. And hopefully we can talk about that national championship that baseball is going to bring us.
Oh, yeah. I hope to see you and everybody else listening in Omaha.
I got to get back up there, man. It's been about 5 years since I've been back in Fayetteville, and I lived there for 10. So, man, yeah. I'm itching. So,
if you find your way up here during baseball season, let me know, and we can help find you some tickets. So that's sweet. I mean, Baum Stadium is one of the best places to watch a baseball game, so we'd be lucky to have you in the stands.
Hey, or in the hog pen. That's the best part. That's the best spot right there.
The hog pen can get dangerous.
I've had a few drunken college afternoons in the hog pen. But good time.
It's there's not many better places to spend a Friday night or a Saturday night or a Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, a lot of fun chatting with you. Appreciate you coming on as always, and take it easy, man. Everybody, yeah. Razorbackology.
Yeah, thank you much. We'll see you in Fayetteville soon.
See you, man.